Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's actually great to be sitting in for Ewan today because my schedule has been absolutely bonkers, and I've missed a couple weeks, and I've missed all of you. And so I'm really happy to be here. And starting off Fridays with this incredibly talented and intelligent and smartass group, excuse me, eloquent group.
No, that's not us.
No,
who?
Had it right the first time.
I had it right. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm just super excited that I get to hang out with all of you, and as well as everyone that tunes in and watches live. So, this is awesome. Speaking of awesome, we'll just jump right into everyone that's here today. And Dave, how are you? And no, seriously, how are you?
Doing okay. Glad to be here. I think I missed a couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken, myself here. So glad to be here this week. And the weather's been nice. And just chilling out and working hard.
Awesome. And Marty, how about you? How's it going?
It's a rainy day in Kent, Ohio, and so I'm inside doing meetings, and this is the best break of the day, getting to connect with folks here. So I'm doing well.
Awesome. And Chuck, what's going down in the OG Chuck Town?
I've never heard it described like that before, Jeff. Not much. I think the way they're talking, we're going to get Marty's rain tomorrow. So the day is nice, and I'm here with good friends, and we're going to have lots of intelligent information to share with listeners and viewers.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear intelligence. Which is not to say I don't think any of you are capable of it. It's just I need to be around smart people for a little while.
It's just unlike.
All right. Well, then, in that case, no pressure, Patrice. But how are you?
I'm okay. I kind of feel a little bit like Dave today. I got so much stuff around me where I'm like, I have boxes and like sweets and whatever. I don't know, like airplane tags. And stickers, pins.
I have a smaller broadcaster, so it's a little smaller than that.
So you got the extra space now to do more. To put more stuff there. No, I'm all over the place, if you can tell. It's one of those weeks. It's like work emergencies in parallel and all of that.
Yep, totally get it. Yep. Well, like I said, I'm super happy that I get to hang out with all of you. I have missed getting to hang out with all of you.
That's true. Yeah. Didn't hang out last week.
Right. And with my schedule has been so crazy. I've actually missed a few weeks of Mac Voices Live. And just that just sucks. And I missed a couple weeks of In Touch with iOS. But I was able to be on last night. So that was awesome.
Got published today.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to watch and see if I said anything intelligent.
I think you did.
And when it happens, I'll be like, holy crap. Yes, I'll be just as surprised as everyone else. Yeah. So we might as well do some stories while we are here. And first story we're going to start off with... is a story where we don't
Apple is shutting down. No.
Apple is shutting down. They're giving all the money back to the shareholders.
Like, they're like, we're done.
Just like Dell said. Yep. Okay, so we don't have any official announcement from Apple on this, but the word on the street is that Apple is still in the midst of their leadership shakeup. And... and the latest is their robotics team. So
secret.
They Yes, their secret robotics team that we don't officially know about. But
shh.
Don't yeah, tell don't anybody. Tell anyone. Yeah. So John Gianandrea is not going to be heading up the team anymore. And is that right? It's hard for me to keep track of all the people anymore. okay, wait, yeah.
Is Apple so, like every other big company where every 5 minutes something gets changed on the top level? Or is it...
it's... Yeah.
It's like it's probably already outdated. It's like already... Oh, it's already in another... He already moved to another yes. person.
Yes. They have someone who's the senior VP of management lead assignments. And they have one of those little spinner boards from games where you flick the arrow and it spins around. And the name it lands on, that's who's in charge of that division today.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he has a second spinner with all the divisions. And he's literally like, spin one, spin the other. Spin one, spin the other. Send the email in between. Send the email.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. Yep. So, yeah. So this isn't looking good for... I'm actually going to say John because I'm pretty sure I'm butchering on some level. Gianandrea. So he got pulled from Siri, well, Apple Intelligence, and now he's pulled from robotics. And so now robotics is going to be overseen by John Ternus. And but Gianandrea is still going to be in charge of Apple's AI in general, at least until they spin the board again.
Didn't you just take over Apple's AI in general? Wasn't that the recent change?
I think that was a recent change, and then they pulled the Siri stuff from him.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And now robotics.
Better start filling out my scorecard here.
Right?
Bingo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. Are they just going to keep pulling stuff from him, or
probably? I mean, there could be two reasons. Maybe he just has too much stuff internally, and they need him to focus on something. Maybe a new project, maybe an existing project, or he wants to retire, or they just want to get rid of him.
Nope. Either way, he's going to leave with more money than we'll ever see in our lifetime.
Yes.
So I've got to get out the wee tiny violins for him because he's being moved around. I wish I had a golden parachute like that.
Mm-hmm. No, as I said, I mean, big companies do that all the time. So,
but the way the direction of Siri has gone with Apple Intelligence, that doesn't exactly help him either, I would think, too.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I get more frustrated with the S lady almost on a daily basis.
Me too.
Yeah,
you know, the one thing I want to point out, whatever the reason that this change, and Patrice, I'm like you, it either maybe he's on his way out for one reason, or maybe he's just retiring. But if that's the case, then that speaks to an orderly transition of authority,
mm-hmm.
not the shakeup that it's being characterized as. And so, I mean, maybe I'm just looking at a glass half full, but I feel like that would be a good thing as opposed to, okay, you know, we gave him his walking papers yesterday and now we have a new head. That never works out well. I mean, sometimes it happens, but it never works out well.
That's a good point. Apple is always very... meticulous and calculated with transitions.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, this is not a public transition. It's just a rumored one. So.
Right.
Public, they would even be more careful with.
I think Apple is good about how they send that message, because if you send the message as Chuck has said, or even as the rumors have said, if you send the message in a healthy way, then people will get the public will get a healthy view of what the company is about. But if you send the message that we're just cutting him loose, he's been a problem, it creates a whole problem with the brand and the perspective of the public on the brand. So,
And yet, so many of the news outlets want us to treat this as the apple turns, and turn it into a big soap opera. And if you think about it, Apple makes a lot of money. Apple has a lot of success. They don't get that by making huge mistakes. Sure, they make some, like everybody does, but they avoid some of the obvious ones.
Yeah, and they certainly don't put their burn book out in public, if they have one. It's a function of trying to protect the brand and also trying to protect the employee who's leaving, too, in a sense. They want to save face. If there's something that's not working out, they want to make sure that employee has a chance to save face with it, too. So,
yeah. Okay, I'm going to toss a harebrained idea out. What if this has been part of the roadmap all along? Like, they have all these projects that fall under an umbrella, and so they want to have a unified approach to them until they reach a critical mass level, at which point they get their own special heads.
I think that is actually very likely going to happen. Because how do I know? Because that's literally the position I'm in it. Well, I'm in it, my company. We always create new things and get them ready and get them to market or take over areas that don't work. And once they're back in shape, they get handed over to someone else. That's literally
how that works.
Look at me throwing
out harebrained ideas.
That probably could be true. I mean, who knows, but could be true. You need people like that. And it's also, it's a different skill. Running something long-term successfully and with everything that comes with it and keeping it going and improving it is a different skill than coming up with something completely new from nothing.
In moving projects from one person to another creates a healthier work environment.
Yes.
Because not everything is saddled on one person. And if something happens to them, good or bad, you have other people knowing the work and the workflow that's necessary for that project. So it might look like a shakeup, or people might choose to interpret it as a shakeup, but it was really kind of a healthy way to balance out the projects that the company is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and we know how Apple likes to plan long term and plan for, okay, someone might leave eventually or retire or whatever. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, Mac Rumors, the article that I used for this one. And by the way, thank you, Dave, for all the hard work you do to come up with all of your show notes for In Touch with iOS and then letting us borrow those. So we don't miss anything. You rock. Here I'm going to read a sentence from Mac Rumors piece. It says, Gianandrea has hundreds fewer engineers to manage, and the shift is a clear indication that Apple leadership does not feel that he can lead multiple teams.
No, that's bullshit.
And, yeah, I do find that to be a surprisingly big leap. Like, if I can off the cuff, and just to be clear, everyone, I have been out of the news loop in general for a few weeks. So this is pretty much the first time I've looked at this story. And even me, someone who hasn't been following the day-to-day stuff for a while, is saying, hey, maybe this is a planned part of the project development. And yet here they are saying, oh, well, this clearly means that he's not capable of doing his job.
No. Bullshit. Is everybody at that level on the same level? No, but if you're in a big company in a management position like that, or even lower down, you absolutely 100% have to have the capability to manage not just multiple projects, but sometimes like hundreds of projects in parallel. Because that's literally your actually big chunk of your job to keep the wheels spinning and make sure everybody has the things they need. So, no, I mean, even I do that. I have, I don't know how many projects, and I'm not very high up in the hierarchy. So, no, bullshit.
And, you know, and I go back to what I said before about the sensationalism. Jeff, your idea was not harebrained. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a number of us here have thrown out possibilities that don't involve a failure on someone's part. No. And yet, you know, the sensational thing is let's believe that it's a failure and it's bad and oh my God, yeah. Apple's doomed. You know, I really get annoyed with this kind of reporting. Just report the facts. If you're going to report on a rumor, A, good, you've designated as a rumor, not fact. Mm-hmm. But then B, don't interpret the rumor. Or if you're going to interpret the rumor, then put opinion, you know, or something. But I almost feel like they should be obligated to list out some of the things we talked about, that there are a lot of reasons that this could be happening.
See, and we focused, I'm with you, Chuck, we focused so much on him, but what about, crap, what's his name, the guy who supposedly gets the project? I forgot. What was his name?
Oh,
the hardware guy. Scrooge, right. Isn't it? Johnny Scrooge? Turnus, John Turnus. Yeah, I mean, isn't he like even COO or something? John Turnus, but he's definitely very, very hardware oriented. How about maybe he wanted the project and Gianandrea, whatever his name is, was willing to hand it over and was like, yeah, sure, take it. I have enough on my plate already.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time where someone is like, hey, this is kind of in my wheelhouse. This is hardware. I see that you're struggling. I can help you with it. How about you hand it over? And they're like, yeah, sure, let's do that. Right?
At the end of the day, just don't believe everything you read and be, you know, use a little critical thinking.
In general.
You know, that, well, in general, you know, especially in today's environment, yes. You know, use a little critical thinking and say, you know, does this make sense?
Yes.
It's a favorite topic because I get so frustrated with it. Go for it.
Okay. So it's no secret. I was managing editor of Mac Observer for a long time. So I was very closely watching everything we wrote. I was also very closely watching everything the other Apple news blogs were covering, mm-hmm. because it mattered to know what everyone else was doing. I have seen this transition over the years, and especially like in the last 4 years, where there's been this big shift in the style for writing articles on pretty much all of the sites. And the first big part of that transition was seeing a lot of these sites move in a fashion to catering to SEO first and then giving information to the readers second.
Mm-hmm.
And my take has always been, if you craft your piece so that it serves your readers well, then that's going to help your SEO. You don't need to focus on SEO, which is a very esoteric and very fluid target anyhow. But then the other shift that I've seen is that we're seeing a lot of these articles presenting personal opinion as fact. And to me, that's a disservice to the readers, because a lot of readers, and I'm not saying that they don't have critical thinking skills or they're not intelligent, it's just that they expect what they're reading to be accurate as best as possible and to be researched. So when they see statements like, well, this is clearly an indication that he doesn't have the leadership skills, there's a higher likelihood that your readership will accept that as fact. And that's a disservice to your readers. And it bothers me that I'm seeing this in a lot of the blogs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, journalism like this has existed for a long time. I mean, there used to be multiple podcasts making fun of that. So one of them was mine.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. It's a thing. And yes. it just bugs me to see this.
Mm.
And I feel like I'll just stop there because I'll just stop there. And well, instead, Jeff,
sorry, go ahead. Pardon me.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I think we're information people here, and we want information, and then we'll kind of post process and figure it out. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. We're having to take the input and sort through it and then do the critical thinking as opposed to just give me just the facts, ma'am.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to write a piece about how about how he's a bad leader. Okay. That's fine. But what you do is you collect information to back that up. You get some sources who are willing to talk to you, even if it's anonymously, and say, yes, I work directly with him, and we've had multiple meetings, and this has been a major concern with our C-suite leadership. Okay, great. Now you've got a piece where you can write about how there are problems with him in his leadership role. But we don't have any of that. So don't say that this is clearly an indication that he's not able to lead, because we don't know that. That's a pretty big leap for something that is still based on a rumor.
Yeah.
All right. I'll stop being Mr. Cranky Pants about that one. And Chuck, here's another rumor for you. So I saw this and this one, and I thought, oh, well, here we get to talk about potential features in iOS 19. So we get to hit the pain point for Chuck, which is speculating on unannounced products. And then we rub the salt in with the fact that this is a rumor. So this is the Let's Trigger Chuck episode.
Okay, so well, if you're looking to, thank you, David. So I'm curious about one thing though, and I need to look at the previous article.
So Chuck, while you're doing that, okay. I'll give people a fast overview. There's a rumor that in iOS 19, when you connect your iPad to a Magic Keyboard, you get a Mac-like menu bar on your iPad screen. And so this would be blurring the interface of macOS and iPadOS a little bit more.
Okay. I didn't want to tar and feather anybody without good reason. So these two articles, the first one we talked about, then this one, are written by two different people. They are at macrumors.com. And so maybe we should pay attention to the title of the site. But, fine. If that's what we get, then we get it. I can't get excited over all this speculation until it's actually in my hands. And then, then we can debate whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But yeah, okay, fine. I feel like my personal RSS feed daily reading is comprised about 30 to 40% of A, rumors, and B, beta release and updates from everybody. And okay, the beta release updates, for those of you who run betas, are important. But yeah,
Are they important? I mean, I run betas all the time. I'm not sure how helpful they are at this point anyway.
Yeah.
It's like mostly, there's a new beta. Yes, kind of like every week or two.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, Jeff, you're not the only cranky pants here today.
no.
But if you download a beta, don't you get a little information on what's changed or new in the beta? Or am I just being naive?
Yeah.
There's a link to the release notes that are not always helpful, but yes, there's a link.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a release to the link notes, and if you click on that release, that link, you'll go to the release notes. But often I've gone to the release notes and seen the same issues that I saw in the previous release notes. So the release notes don't give you much new information. They just keep telling you this is where the problems are and we're aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marty, are you doing public betas or developer betas?
I'm doing developer betas, except for my studio, which I'm running a public beta on.
Okay. I was asking because I do developer betas as well, and I was wondering, are they giving the same release notes to developers and public beta? And is there a possibility public beta had less information? But your frustration with that, I think, is valid, because there are times I look at the beta release notes for a new update, and I'm like, I don't think they changed anything in the notes.
Yeah.
And the other thing that cracks me up about this particular article is, you know, with an iPad running iOS 19, when an iPad OS 19 is connected to a Magic Keyboard, a Mac OS-like menu bar will appear on the screen, according to Leaker. The image has nothing to do with anything. If you zoom in, there is no Mac-like menu bar. Nothing. They didn't even bother to do that. They just threw this up there because somebody said so.
Yes. Might it be true? Yes. But they didn't even bother.
Yeah,
there's a link to the original source, and the original source article starts out according to my source.
That person, they have a hit and miss track record with correct information, so I
who
get
doesn't?
Why.
No, I mean honestly, if you're in the rumor business. I think almost everybody, including some people that usually are pretty good, have a hit and miss record. You're not always going to be 100% because it's rumors. So it's insider information from people who usually don't have the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Patrice, you just used a phrase that just scares the daylights out of me. The rumor business.
Yeah, it is a business. Is it? I mean, it is. 100%. It's a big business.
And it's not just in the technology space. I mean, look at the rumor business in the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
There are entire magazines and TV shows dedicated to the rumor business.
Yep.
Exactly.
We should start a rumor podcast of our own.
Start a website called Mac Truths.
There you go.
Instead of Mac Rumors.
Mac Rumors. Or checksrumors.com.
Checksrumors.
No, we're not. No personal life.
OG Chuck.
No personal life rumors.
And the subscription pay version of the site will be only facts.
I love it.
Nice one.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
I kind of like that too. If that domain's available, we should get it. You know, okay, so putting aside all the rumor stuff, the idea of having an iPad interface that more closely mimics the Mac interface, I appreciate is a very popular idea for a lot of people. And from my perspective, excuse me, I want an iPad interface that is an iPad interface. I want a Mac interface that's a Mac interface. The iPad is a different type of computing device. It uses different input methods, meaning it's a touch-based interface, not keyboard and mouse. And I don't want Apple to compromise on the touch interface to give us more Mac-like features. They need to figure out how to do it in an iPad way. And I question, without seeing it at all, I question whether or not there should be a Mac-like menu bar on an iPad when you connect a Magic Keyboard. Is that the right path to go down for the type of interface that you're using on an iPad?
Yes.
Okay, convince me.
We've had for years already trackpad and keyboard support, right? On mm-hmm. iPad OS. And it's always been iPad OS and Vision Pro, by the way. It's always been slightly weird because you get a little thing that's kind of your mouse, and yes, you can use the keyboard, but it's still a touch interface. Everything is still a touch interface. So it kind of. Mm-hmm. Some things were harder to use that way. And I think there was a gap between the MacBook, or the Mac, and the iPad in that sense. Despite the fact that once you attach a keyboard and a trackpad or a mouse, there's not a lot of difference. It's a screen with a keyboard and a mouse, right? Just one can do touch mm-hmm. and the other one can't. And one runs iPad OS and one runs Mac OS. That's been the difference. So for people switching, I mean, yeah, most people probably can figure it out and it's fine, but there's still a disconnect. And I think getting them a little bit closer together, and I mean, the rumor was always, the Mac is simply going to move towards iOS and the iPad, right? The iOSification of Mac OS. But maybe the other way around also would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, Here I'm backing up you after I'm saying, so tell me, prove to me. But okay, here's the deal. I think that it would be more logical to make iPad more Mac-like than to make the Mac more iPad-like, because the Mac has never ever been a touch-based interface, whereas the iPad. It's a touch-based interface. It can do both, and I see the iPad interface, iPad OS. I feel is much more fluid than Mac OS as far as features usage. Go or yeah. usage. Yes,
yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm not that much of a touchy person. That might come as a surprise to you, but. I have always had a problem trying to integrate iPad use with my Mac use. And frankly, having the keyboard and having the trackpad and or even a mouse has made it a lot easier for me to navigate around iOS mm-hmm. and particularly iPad OS.
Yeah.
And then the idea of having Sidecar too, which is allows me to kind of move from one device to another, has helped integrate it better for me. Jeff, how do you feel about Sidecar?
Excuse me. I use Sidecar. wow, sorry about that. I think Sidecar is a nice addition, and I'm glad we have it, because there are times when I'm using my iPad in tandem with my Mac, and the ability to just jump between the screens without taking my hands off my keyboard and mouse that's a great thing to be able to do. That does fit well with the thing that I have talked about a lot in the past, that I call it economy of motion. And the fewer taps, swipes, or other hand gestures that I have to do on an iPad or an iPhone to accomplish a task, each time you reduce one of those steps, it becomes more efficient. And my feeling is, when you're trying to accomplish a specific task, if you've had to go more than three taps, swipes, or presses deep to make something happen, then there has to be a more efficient way to make that happen. And mm-hmm. and when I'm on my Mac, every time my hand has to leave the keyboard to go to my mouse or trackpad, then I have lost efficiency. So if you give me the ability to use both in tandem, and I'm not having to move my hands from device to device to make that work, that improves my economy of motion. That makes me
more efficient.
But that's already the case.
Will a menu bar at the bottom of your iPad fix that or help that?
I don't know. But if we get it, I'll be able to tell you probably fairly quickly if it does. I'm keeping an open mind. It's just right now I'm having a hard time with the notion that we're going to have an iPad that in certain situations more closely mimics a Mac. And well, I appreciate the need to have different interface elements depending on what type of input device you're using. I fear that the inconsistencies that could introduce will be confusing for part of the user base. And I may very well be completely off base here. And if that's the case, great. But it's a concern I have today.
So let me weigh in for the fun of it. First of all, the iPad, pretty much from the get-go, has been a one application device. Apple has introduced some things that, you know, let you work with maybe two apps, you know, side by side, or, you know, in with the various options. Okay, up to four. But it's still not it's not an intuitive experience. You have to learn how to do it. And so that's where I'm not going to pick on iPad OS because I think that it's being unfairly judged as we're looking at a Mac interface, and I don't know about you, but I have an embarrassing number of apps open at any given moment on my Mac.
But that's how we roll.
And I jump between windows and that's fine. Sometimes I jump between lots of screens. But the iPad is a much more solitary device, and it seems like it's better focused on just one, maybe two tasks at a time. That said, I have a Magic trackpad keyboard thing for my iPad, and it's fine. But honestly, the only thing I use it for, I don't think I ever use it. I don't think I ever use the trackpad on it. I'd really have to contemplate that. Usually I just use the keyboard for input because it's a lot faster for me to type on that keyboard than it is on the screen keyboard.
Yeah.
So yeah. I look at this and I say, why does everybody want to turn the iPad into the Mac and the Mac into the iPad? They're two different devices.
No. But I have to disagree with you here. I mean, is it unfairly judged when you compare it to the Mac? I think so, yes. But when you look at the iPad on its own, I think there is a fair amount of judgment that it deserves because it is not as good as it should be, and it has honestly barely progressed at all in the last years. Let's be honest.
That's legit.
Yeah, and it is not as useful as it could be. I mean, as I said, forget. I mean, to the extent that you can, forget desktop anything. Like, I mean, we have a long history of desktop and a lot of people grew up with it these days. So including me. So I think we can't fully forget it, but people want to use it and want it to be a good device. And I don't think it is.
Patrice, I'll disagree back, but not for what you said, except the last statement. I think for what it is, it's a fantastic device. I think it's the fact that too many people are trying to make it into a device that it isn't.
But it could be better. It could be so much better. I mean, even ignoring all of that, you look at the iPad, you look at what you could be using it for, and half of the stuff it can do. Just the iPad on its own. You want it to be useful. You want maybe multiple windows open. You want background audio. Like, there's a million things that you might want to do and that you can't. And I think that is a fair point. If you want to use that, then it doesn't. And it's, as I said, it's not made any progress in that area really in a long time. And that is the problem. Doesn't have to be the Mac. The Mac is already there. But it has to make sense and has to make progress, and I don't think it does.
Yeah, so the challenge. The challenge for me is deciding which app or which to take. Should I take my iPad Pro with me, or should I take my MacBook Air? And my MacBook Air always wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for a lot of people. I mean, including me. I basically, other than for notes right now, for like my Pilot stuff, I don't use my iPad at all. I've stopped using it.
Patrice, I think
it's just not useful.
Yeah, but I think you just said it. It depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah, but a lot of people just buy a MacBook Air, which is one, cheaper these days almost, and two, can do much more.
But there's one factor we haven't talked about, and that is, right now we're talking about the OS, the iPad OS. But developers may not have done their part of the equation to make the iPad apps better from a touch interface standpoint. And I'm going to point to one that does and does it phenomenally well, and that's LumaTouch. I mean, video editing on an iPad would seem to be insane. And instead, it's insanely great with LumaTouch.
Ferrite, you know, for audio editing. Like podcasts,
sorry?
Especially. Ferrite
for podcasts. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ferrite. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So there are apps out there that I don't want to say have made it work, but have not only made it work, but they've enhanced the experience with the touch interface. And so, you know, instead we have companies that come from a certain city in Washington that I shall not name that try to squeeze their apps onto every platform they can find without taking advantage of some of the advantages of the platform. Yeah.
But talk to those developers and they will tell you the hoops they had to jump through to even get to that point and the things they really would like to have and still haven't gotten after many, many, many years. There's tons of developers that jumped away from the iPad, not because they didn't like it or because they didn't have people there that were using it, just because they were just struggling too much with all the limitations and the Mac was easier at some point.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so the only limit, I don't know, Patrice, I've not talked to those developers. I'd love to hear a list of what they want. But the one thing I know that they keep running into, Rogue Amoeba has, you know, been one of the most vocal because of the security that iOS has that Mac OS doesn't. And so you're giving up functionality for security. Some people are willing to do it. Apple is willing to do it to a point because they continue to allow things like a million different utilities we all know and love and use to work on Mac OS, but they won't function on iPad OS.
Yes.
Now, before we move on, Dave, I'm totally dragging you into the middle of this. you're the guy that has to deal with the hardware and the users every day. Would an iPad that gives you more Mac-like features be a useful thing in your line of work?
It could be. I'd be interested to see how it would happen. I think companies need to get the iPads out in the wild first, because before they even start doing anything, because, you know, if they aren't using them, you want to start doing some testing to see if it's something they could do in its current state. But for it to come to fruition, this is talking about with this rumor about iPad OS 19 having Mac-like functionality. I mean, our friend Ben's been raving about the fact that we need to put Mac OS on iPad.
Yes.
He has. Yep.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people feel the same way. And why can't we merge those two into one and extend it out to a tablet and a PC and a Mac? Well, I think Apple wants to keep them somewhat separate, because what will happen is it'll tap into the Mac market a little bit, but the iPad be probably more of a device that would be of interest because of its portability and because of its insane battery life and in its interface. Some folks like to use keyboards, some don't. You like to have the touch capabilities. They would probably have to do a little bit of a redesign with macOS, obviously, with not a little bit, a lot, to get it to work as a touch screen type of OS, unlike that dirty word Windows that has been doing it for years, and it's a horrible experience all the time. So, but overall, I think a company could consider iPads like that in the future. I just don't know where Apple's mind is right now to whether or not it'd be something they're interested in pursuing, because maybe this is a compromise for doing macOS on the iPad, and just having Mac-like features that might make their user community a little happier.
Okay. See, and once again, Dave, the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. okay. My head hurts now, so... Let's talk about the live chat instead. And yeah. Patrice, do you mind helping me with that?
Sure. So we have a really cool live chat that is super easy to use. It's like when we are live streaming, which right now we're doing as we're recording this, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, by the way. You just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com in your browser or wherever that is. Could even be on an iPad. And you see the live stream and then you see the chat. It's like on YouTube or any other platform. It's literally the same, but it's our own very, very own hosted version. And it generates really fun names for you, like the Ecstatic Lovelace or the Wonderful Keller. But if you want to change them, it's totally not a problem. Up top, there's a little purple icon and you select change name and that's it.
Then I think I'm going to change my name to Ecstatic Lovelace.
That sounds like a good idea.
As well, you should.
You really should.
But either way, like we put the links in for all the like articles and stuff we mentioned. We're going to do the cool things in a second. We have people in there that are talking to us sometimes, like the third earlier. It's just a place to be. If you want to read the transcript of it later, because you're listening to this as a podcast in whatever app you're using for that, or on the website even, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then select in the calendar a date, like Fridays for this show, always good dates, I would say. So if you select, for example, today's date, April 25th, 2025. Wow. 4/25/25, interesting. Then wow. you will see what was talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. With that, now it's time for some cool things. And Dave has the first cool thing. So how are you spending Chuck's money today, Dave?
I don't know if I'm going to spend Chuck's money, but I found this to be a unique thing. I found this on, if anybody knows, the content creator, John Buck. He was doing this at NAB, actually. This little guy here, a little microphone here that you could talk into. And he was actually doing it during NAB, which can be a very loud, and I'm sure as Chuck knows, in the environment that the microphones are, and wanting to probably have a dynamic mic when you're doing any recording. This one was pretty amazing considering the price of only $8.99 US. And it comes with a little stand, and it's a little 3.5 inch connector, but he adapted it and even plugged it into his camera and was able to get a pretty amazing sound. So I figured I'd check it out. I haven't had a chance to really play with this too much, but I mean, it looks kind of dorky. It does have a little stand that comes with it too. It's kind of cute. Little tiny guy, but it's for $9. What the heck? Give it a shot.
And you can pick your color.
As long as it's black.
There's like, it's black, silver, blue, magenta, and gold.
I thought it was apple. Sorry.
Yeah. Cool. And okay, so that's an inexpensive one for Chuck.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Chuck, how are you spending Dave's money?
I think I'm more likely to spend Dave's money. This is something that DJI released at NAB. In fact, it was just part of an interview I did on Mac Voices from NAB. This is the DJI Mic Mini. So it kind of goes with Dave's theme of a small microphone. But this if you can buy different components to this, but if you buy it the whole in the way it's listed in the link I sent, you get two transmitters, one receiver, and a charging case for $169. Wow. And so, you know, I get a mic to put on me, I get a mic to put on the guest, and then a receiver to plug into my phone or my camera. And I can tell you that the mics themselves are probably, depending on the size of your thumbnail, are just a little bit bigger than your thumbnail. They are ridiculously small. I use an earlier version and a larger version of this mic system, the DJI mic system. And I tell you, in the environment that is CES and NAB, you would expect to have all kinds of issues. And I think I've had issues about 0.05% of the time. It is just rock solid, always does a great job. The charging case is phenomenal because when you put everything in the case, it obviously charges. As soon as you open the lid, though, everything pops back on and it connects. They all connect together. There's no pairing. Everything is automatic. You can just pull them out and go. And so, to my way of thinking, $170 for a two receiver, one, excuse me, yeah, two transmitters, one receiver with charging case is a phenomenal value. And the output is excellent because DJI has already perfected the microphones that they use in these labs. And so, yeah, why wouldn't you if you have a need for this kind of thing?
That's very cool. All right, so mics from Dave, mics from Chuck. I'm about to click Marty's link. I expect it to be mics.
Nope, it's not mics, but I do want to comment on Chuck's. Before we get to my link, my son and I do a podcast, Gear Up and Go, and we found the most convenient time to record the podcast is when we're driving each other to the airport. And so we use the DJIs that you're promoting here, or that you're letting us know about, to record on the road. And it does a wonderful job in cleaning up the sound, and the noise reduction is incredible with it. So the sound is very clear. I know Dave and I are also playing around with the road version of this in terms of recording, but the DJIs are really pretty impressive. One bit of warning, with the DJIs, they come with a little magnet that you can kind of put through your cloth or put through your pocket or put through your collar in the magnet. Don't drop the magnet. You'll never find it again. Mm-mm. I've already had to buy replacement magnets for my DJIs. They also, I think, have a clip, but the magnet piece is pretty cool. My
and hey, yeah, Marty, well, I can tell you, pardon me, one of the reasons that they're so good is the off-axis rejection is amazing because they're, in other words, they're very directional. So if you place them right, they're going to pick up you and they're going to pick up very little else around you. And again, go to the CES or NAB videos, because yes, with the roar that's going on around you, you can tell that there's that. But as long as I have the mic aimed at you or aimed at me, you know, it's amazing. So I'm not surprised at all to hear that. Didn't even think about the magnet situation though. So that's I've got to look at that.
Yeah, they're cheap. Just paint yours red.
What?
Yeah. Well, magnets? I think.
Yeah, paint the magnets red so when they fall on the ground, you can see them.
Okay. I think the magnet is attached somewhere underneath the seat of my car. You know, the metal frame of the seat of the car. So God knows if I'll ever find it. So my thing is Shock's new Open Run Pro 2 over-the-ear bone conduction sports headphones. And I'm not the sporty type, but this is my go-to headphones for all of the podcasting and recording that I do. When I worked in commercial radio, it was always kind of important to hear your own resonance. And if you had the ear over-the-ear headphones on, you would get a lot of your own head stuff. You'd hear what's going on in your head. And so taking one of the cans off and setting it to the side, allowing you to pay attention to the environment and how you're projecting is important. For me, that's why I have settled on these, besides the irritation factor of having something plugged into your ear regularly was an issue for me. This came up about a week ago when my son and I were going to the airport, and I was picking him up, and he was doing some work out in Las Vegas, working with a person who was constructing stages. And he said, you know, this is my first time doing this. It's a friend of mine. It's good money. I went out there, but all of these guys that he's got on crew are wearing these and listening to music and maybe taking calls, but it allows them to also pay attention to what's going on in their environment. So he's going out again Tuesday. I'm going to get him a set that he can take with him and use too. Shox Open Run Pro 2 over-the-ear bone conduction headphones.
Nice. Chuck, I can't wait to see yours.
Okay.
So, all right. And now, Patrice, your turn.
Yeah, my cool thing is, since we just talked about the iPad, I thought that would be appropriate. It's actually, let me show this. So this is my iPad that I only ever use for notes for my pilot stuff. I'm getting my radio license right now, so I have to take a lot of notes and a lot of coded information. And I've used like ForeFlight for it. So there's a couple. There's like, it's another cool thing that I picked. It's like an app for like flight planning or whatever. But it has a note section. I was like, I'll try it. It was way too limited for me. Like, it's multiple pages, and you have a lot of notes. You want to scroll up and down. It doesn't do any of that. So I was looking for an app. I asked, actually, Perplexity AI for recommendations. Notability was one of them. I tried it. It's really good. It's a subscription. I think they have a free tier, but it's very, very limited. I just paid for it. It's like $20 a year or whatever. But yeah, it does. It has tons of templates for things. It's like, it has also, like, I mean, you see, I'm using it black and white, but you can also use it white. Like, they have really cool templates. They have everything you need, including now like handwriting search, dictation with AI support, stuff like that. So it's there's tons of features that are really, really helpful and really cool. You can also type in it. You can mark things. You can. Yeah, whatever. Move around, cut, paste. Yeah, infinite canvas, almost kind of like. So, pretty liked it. So, I'm using Notability.
I'm a Notability user too.
Works much better, I have to say.
Yeah. Great app. Cool. All right.
And if someone can read that, then, well, you probably know what it is.
Right. Okay, so sorry about that, everyone. Okay, my pick is actually a car outlet USB charger plug. Mm-hmm. And this one's from Anker. It's their USB-C charger, and it has a USB-C and a USB-A port on it. And it uses their Power IQ 3.0 technology. It's a fancy way of saying that it correctly adapts power output for the device it's connecting to it. And this can do up to 30 watts through the USB-C port. And it's really small, plugs into for old school people into the cigarette lighter in your car. Although no one ever actually has that plug or the thing that fits into the port to do cigarettes anymore. But that's a thing. Goes in there, works really well. And it's regularly $13.99. It's on sale on Amazon right now for $9.99. And when I needed to replace the little USB outlet thing that I had in my car so that I had a USB or USB-C option as well, I picked this up and it's been working great. So there you go. Chuck, I only cost you $9.99 today.
That's not bad. It's only, you know, Jeff, only is 3490 to a Vision Pro.
So we're getting bit by bit, we're getting there.
You know what, Jeff? Honestly, I it's one of those things that because my phone is, the cable's plugged in and everything, I think I have one of these in my car right now. But I've got to go check, because if not, this is a great price, and to have the USB-A and USB-C port is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the yes, having both is great. And right now, the people that I hang out with that are likely to be in my car with me at any point, I now say we're in a blended technology environment, because some of them have chargers that need USB-C or cables, and some need USB-A. So I can accommodate everything now with one plug.
Nice.
So there you go. All right. Okay. It is now time to wrap up. And well done, everyone, on finding new ways to spend Chuck's money. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchWiOS at InTouchWiOS.com. YouTube channel is YouTube.com/InTouchWiOS. I am here on Fridays on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And you can find me on social media, Blue Sky, Mastodon, at DaveG65. Great job, Jeff.
Awesome. All right, Marty, how about you?
Gencius, J-E-N-C-I-U-S, at BlueSky.com. I don't have my blue check mark yet. I'm anxiously awaiting getting my blue check mark on Blue Sky. But you can find me there. And you can also find the projects I'm involved in at thepodtalk.net, which includes a variety of podcasts that I'm doing. Just started back up the Tech Savvy Professor yesterday. And so that's also in gear and part of it. And then on Tuesday nights with Mac Voices with Chuck, and Thursday nights with Dave on In Touch with iOS.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Chuck, it is now your turn.
MacVoices.com. That's where you can find everything. We do, as has been previously mentioned, Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And you can find me on all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. And right now on Mac Voices, we're working through sort of mixed content with our regular content as well as the interviews from NAB. So there'll be more cool stuff like the mic system I talked about coming soon to help you spend your money. Sweet. Jeff, we missed you. Welcome back. It's good to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back. Yeah. Okay, Patrice, bring it home. Where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. So Thursday's Big Show, Friday's Mac Show. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, social media links, podcast projects, literally everything. And Jeff and I have a cool show called Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. Right now we are in Stargate SG-1 Season 2. And we just published the Tok'ra Part 2, and somewhere today, tomorrow, this weekend, whenever I find the time, maybe tonight I'll manage, we will have the next episode, which is Spirits. And it is a surprise, because we didn't think we would like it as much as we did at the end. But why? You will have to listen to.
Mm-hmm. No spoilers. Mm-mm. Yep. Awesome. Okay, then I believe it's my turn. I'll start off by saying, hey, if you didn't get a chance to go by your Apple Store yesterday, which would have been April 24th, to get their fitness pin, there you go.
That's easy. There,
that's the fitness pin. Yeah. Okay, so now, where can people find me? On social media, I'm Jay Gamut pretty much everywhere. And I am active on Mastodon and PixelFed, a little bit on Blue Sky. You can find me and Dave and Chuck and Marty this July in Woodstock, or well, Crystal Lake, Illinois, but Woodstock, Illinois for MaxStock. We're all speaking at MaxStock this year. So if you're coming to MaxStock, if you want to come to MaxStock and you want to get $50 off each of your tickets, I'll throw out my code today. Why not? JGamut. Use that at maxstockexpo.com and come and hang out with all of us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so now shows. Where can you find me on shows? Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Brad Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch, and I am super excited for the next episode to come out. It's just a lot of fun to get to hang out with all of you and just talk. And everyone else gets to be part of it too. I love it. So thank you to all of you for just being so awesome and for putting a smile on my face. This is like a refreshing recharge for me to get to hang out with all of you. So thank you for that. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, thank you for being part of the show. If you've been in the live chat, thank you for being there. All of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have a great weekend.